Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we watch really trashy but not trashy television to talk about it because there's nothing else to do while we're still in a quarantine lockdown, living in a hellscape of misinformation and crybabies with haircut-related signs. With me, as always, is Shannon Page. Shannon, how are you?
I mean, it's trashy, let's face it. We watch trashy TV.
Yeah, but I'm gonna hit this hard later, but like between this and The Circle, and even Love is Blind, like these are very like sort of standard normative television shows that they talk about being trashy, but then they guide you toward the ideal, like people should couple up and be in, you know, pretty conventional relationships. Anyway. How are you, Shannon? What's going on?
I am good. I'm good. Still just staying at home.
Yeah, yeah. You have a lovely Casa Bonita Zoom background for us right now. So, and I said casa, which is terrible Spanish.
Casa Bonita.
But think about where you are.
It's just funny how I learned Spanish in high school, and yet Casa Bonita's name is ingrained in my brain in the poorly concocted kind of standard Denver way. Anyway, our guest this week is Alyssa Babel. Alyssa, you're back. How are you? Welcome back.
Oh, I am peachy keen now that I've got a glass of wine in front of me.
All right. And your eye doing okay?
Oh my God, it's so gross looking.
What happened to your eye?
I don't know. I went on a walk. And then I came home, went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror, and noticed that my eye looked all fucked up. I was like, uh-oh, what is this? And I pull my thing down, and then I just blood everywhere. And I'm like, oh, that's not normal. And I was like, I know these aren't actually problematic. They're just ugly.
Whoa. So, is that like an allergy thing, or like something got in it?
No, it's a subconjunctival, like your conjunctiva. Subconjunctival hemorrhage. So just a blood vessel in the eye popped, and whatevs. Doesn't hurt.
And conjunctiva is when two like Beyoncés are attached by one organ.
By one Michelle.
By one Michelle. Great.
When I was in high school, I was in a program called the IB program, which is a lot like AP. And at the end of our senior year, we had like 2 or 3 weeks where all we did was take these tests, like AP tests over and over again, IB tests over and over again. And I think there were 40 of us that were in this program. And I swear to God, at least 15 to 20 of them had that, where their eyes turned all red because they were so stressed that they just were bursting blood vessels all over the place.
Yeah, that's probably high blood pressure related.
Why would you be stressed at a time like this?
As a matter of fact, Nate, I was on a walk in the park to relieve some stress, and I was chit-chatting with my my cross-country wifey, and tumbler full of wine, so I wasn't actually stressed at all.
Oh, good.
But I was drinking. I don't know if that's legal here, but I also don't care.
I think it is now. From what I've heard with the to-go cocktails that are all over the place, people are getting them to-go and just walking around with them.
Yeah, nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, nobody cares about much of anything. So guys, we watched the Netflix series, Too Hot to Handle.
Too Hot to Handle!
The premise of this program is that they tricked a bunch of attractive singles to an island where they thought, I think they thought they were going on a retreat, but it was
counterpoint. Not all of them were super hot.
No, I agree. We'll get into that. There.
Okay, I have some strong opinions about that situation.
Yeah. No. There's it's a real grab bag of attractiveness. The premise is that they all got tricked to go to this singles retreat island, and then after the first 24 hours, they're informed that hey, you can't kiss. Or rub on each other, or bone, or anything.
I thought it was 12 hours.
Prize that's associated with this, and you lose money for having sexual contacts. And they're told all this by a glorified Siri. That kind of looks like an air freshener cone, but
Lana.
Yeah, Lana, who it seems a lot like Circle, in that I don't think Lana's actually a programmed device of any kind at all. Rather, just a speaker. But
it's a person who's typing, and that's really what the suspenseful breaks were all about. I'm thinking is that they were typing out like exactly what they wanted it to say, getting a quick proofread, and then pressing submit for Lana to say in her robot voice.
So quick first impressions, Shannon, what did you think about the show off the top?
So as somebody that has watched a lot of these types of shows, Love Island comes to mind as the one that these people probably thought they were going on. I thought it was hilarious that they were a bunch of, no judgment, very sexually active people that were told that they couldn't be sexually active for a month, and it was difficult for them, and that kills me.
Oh yeah.
I'm like,
a month,
haven't kissed anybody in a month and nobody's paying me, like, come on.
Yeah, seriously, you're gonna get rewarded for just being so, I mean, even I don't know, like at no point in my single life in dating did I ever like go, oh yeah, well of course, I mean, because one of the people on the show boasts of like sleeping with a new person every single day or some nonsense. I think he's the most hilariously unlikely to be doing that person too, because he's the boat life guy, but hey, I don't know,
I can tell you why I hate every single person.
Oh no, yeah, they're all terrible at what they're doing. I don't understand why this is hard for them. They're all, I won't say all, the majority of them are idiots.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later, I'm sure. I was fascinated. I was fascinated with the show for about 3 episodes, and then I just kind of like was in and had to finish it.
Yeah, I kind of had the same feeling, mostly. Okay, so Alyssa, you talk about your first impression, and then I'll share mine, because I have some overarching thoughts.
Yeah, so when I first heard about this show, I was drunk, and my friend, we were, you know, on a Google Hangout, and he was like, I just saw a commercial for the new Netflix show coming out where hot people are not allowed to have sex, and I immediately was like, we need to bet on that show.
Oh my god, that would have been amazing. We should have done a bet.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
I wish I had thought to tag you guys in, because we did do betting. And this show was just so cringeworthy, and I screamed at my TV or my computer so many times. And I don't like slut shaming people in public. Like, if you want to get that dick or whatever you want.
Yeah, no judgment.
But on this,
you should do
because
whatever
I had money riding on these people, I was like, fuck you, you dumb slut, put it away. Step away from everyone, put on a sweater, hide them titties, and stay in the shade, you know?
It's not that hard to not make out with people.
When it's over the course of a month, like, all you have to do is not go, like, just, I don't know, social distance, literally. Like, just be like, hey, it's really nice to get to know you.
From the other side of the cabana.
It's a very timely show for the social distancing aspect of it. I'm sure they did not know that that was going to happen, but
this was the same, like, with the Circle, this was probably filmed about a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
They had no idea that the rest of us would be locked up for months at a time without seeing other people. Here's the other thing, though. Nate, and you can comment on this.
Yeah.
Did it not drive anybody else crazy that they were like, oh, and by the way, there's a prize of $100,000, but they didn't say anything about who got that prize or why?
I had the same concern, which is why the way the show ends, which I guess, I don't know, are we spoiling it or not?
Yeah, we're spoiling. Sorry, spoilers.
We're spoiling. We're spoiling it. But so the way that the ending plays out with everybody winning a portion of it, Like,
yeah, they share and share alike. Yeah, I was not happy with that.
I spent half the show being like, are they going to split it? And then I spent another half of the show being like, do they each get 100,000? And this is being deducted from everybody's total. And then I spent like another portion being like, is one person going to get this whole thing? Like, it was very confusing. And if I was one of those contestants, that would have been the first thing I asked Lana. Is right. Who gets this prize for what?
The worst part for me with the ending was how anticlimactic it was. Like, the most dramatic part was the pause for the secret typer break, you know? And I was like, okay, so everybody gets a piece.
It was very millennial. Like, everybody wins.
Yeah,
I thought that too. I was like, oh, participation, huh?
Well,
you're not gonna cheapen things for certain people?
And that's the thing, right? Is that like Francesca and what's his fuck?
Harry
probably should have gotten no money just because they were actively working against the group's best interests the entire time. But they don't get punished.
They got it all back at the end. Right.
They don't get punished because they spend one night not doing something, which is, I mean, I don't know. That seems like a false sense of redemption. My overall thoughts. So one, I don't know if you guys recognized Matthew, who they kept comparing to Jesus.
I swear to God, I've seen him on Tinder.
He was a contestant on like season 28 of America's Next Top Model.
Mm-hmm.
That because Jenny and I watched a couple of those seasons back to back. He was on that show, and I was like, "Who is this guy?" And I looked him up. And I was like, "Of course, it's this guy."
Is he from Boulder?
He's from Highlands Ranch, and he lives. He just must live on reality show bookings, right? But I felt so bad for him for walking away because he was basically like, hey, look, this show's kind of dumb. He didn't say that.
Yeah.
But that was what he was saying.
Oh, it was like all over his face, especially when he couldn't like form a good sentence to talk to that one person who was like, spiritual connection.
Right.
He was like, what? Okay.
Anyway. But yeah, so I feel bad for him because he should have got money for sticking it out for so long and for making several of the other dimwits cry when he left.
The thing about these shows is that everybody is guaranteed an amount of money for participation and they're also paid per episode.
Yeah, I mean, I figured he would be compensated because he's been on another reality show. He definitely has an agent. He's going through all this stuff.
I think also if you're on a show like this and you get eliminated, you don't go home. You go to like a hotel.
Yeah, you get isolated.
Yeah, so he basically gave up being in this house where he was being filmed to go have a private vacation for a couple weeks,
have sex with people in that hotel.
Not the worst deal on the planet.
Probably so. You know, my other big overarching thought on this is for a show called Too Hot to Handle, it's not really hot at all. Like, most of the time it's just kind of lame people doing cliche sort of Tinder dating activities and then going through classes that are empowering, I guess. I don't know, it seemed so tame for what I was sort of expecting. I guess I was expecting
a little more like ferocity, maybe some light fighting. You know, I wish it was more than 8 episodes because they left out so much potential conflict content.
Oh, yeah. Know? Yeah. Because we know that everybody probably was arguing with Haley about stuff more than they showed us, right? Haley being the blonde girl who got kicked off the show for lying,
Haley.
I think.
Haley was amazing. I loved it.
She had the nasty attitude. She was like, I fucking hate this. I fucking hate that.
This is
dumb. Let's ruin it on purpose.
She was the sorority girl from Florida who didn't know where Australia was.
So
who just wanted to win money so she could get a nose job. And she was in love with Francesca the whole time and kept pretending like she wasn't.
Like, I'm not like gay or bi, but like we could make out.
We found a
loop. I'm into girls sometimes, but not this time. But I think we should pretend to be in love
and maybe move in together.
So funny.
He's like, so I have a U-Haul rented like right after the show. Are you down? Super not gay though.
They stole all the soaps out of the shower, out of the communal showers too. I don't even know where to begin here. Should we talk about the individual people? Like, what?
I think we should just start with episode one.
All right, so yeah, episode one, they all show up on this at this retreat. It's a beautiful setting. Everyone is wearing an undersized bathing suit of some kind.
There was an obnoxious amount of underboob.
Constant.
So much underboob.
Yeah.
All the underboob.
The whole show. So much underboob. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I have had tasteful side boob in my life once or twice on purpose, but I was glued into that thing, so there's no way to have any kind of wardrobe malfunction, if you will.
Yeah, most of the time it seemed like something was going to happen. Like, if anybody moved too quickly, something was going to happen.
Can we talk about the first episode? Haley has a tattoo on her back. It's in another language. Somebody asks her what language it is, and she says, I don't know. She doesn't even know what language it's in.
It's from the quick glimpse that I got of it. There's no close up, but I thought it looked kind of like Elvish.
Yeah, it's in Klingon. She doesn't have any idea.
It looked like a fictional language, just like something that it's probably talking about, like, I'm a big dumb whore in, you know, whatever fake made up language that only nerdy people speak. So she's probably accosted by neckbeards on the street all the time. Like, hey, like, you're a tramp stamp. You want to call me Elrond? She's like, excuse me.
Speaking of tattoos, so both Chloe and the late coming Corey have Roman numeral tattoos on their, like, left pectoral. And I was trying to, do you guys know what that's about? What are the Roman numeral tattoos things about? Because I noticed that, and I don't think they were the only ones.
Yeah, I don't know. I have friends who have Roman numeral tattoos, but that's, like, significant specifically to them and super tiny and not on their chest.
Yeah.
I think it's just a douchebag thing. I really think it's just a douchey trend.
I feel like it's just a douchebag thing.
Fell into.
Might be the episode title.
it really, like, every single thing about these people is just like, yep, I would not want to be friends with you because you're all
here's what I thought the entire first episode. So I'm used to guys talking about how they want to have sex with random people and have sex with a different person every night and all that kind of stuff, and I feel like watching the first episode made me feel really old, because I don't feel like that was an attitude that women I grew up with had. And I was like, is that how women today are? Is that how 20-year-olds today are? And I couldn't differentiate between, is it these women or is that the new social media
thing? It's definitely a culture related thing. Cause like, I feel like from you to them, I straddle both worlds. And, you know, I grew up with, you know, probably more so like you did, where everybody was very reserved and, like, quote unquote, had respect for themselves. I don't know how much you do or don't have, but, and then these girls are like, whatever, like, let's whip that pussy out and
they have the same attitude as men. And I actually think there's something kind of interesting about that, because I spent my 20s trying to play this game of, like, oh, you want it, but you can't have it. Ugh. And, like, it was kind of refreshing to watch, like, to these women be like, I also want it.
I kind of embraced the culture of being a hoe for show. Because, you know, I grew up very reserved, and then after, like, not even till after I was done at college, not done with college, that's not done, but done at college, I was still very reserved. And then after college, I was like, you know what? I never had a slut phase. And then I was like, light switch.
Whether it's cultural or whether it's, you know, just I was out of it the whole time culture. And all that. No. I actually kind of enjoyed watching these women get theirs. I was like, you go.
Or
you
want not.
To that guy, you do it. Yeah. Yeah, well, we're talking about the first episode. So in the first episode, they were all like, I'm going to sleep with that guy. I'm going to sleep with that guy.
Yeah, they were literally like ranking everybody in who's going to get who first, who's going to be Eskimo sisters with who, like all of it.
And Nate, you mentioned, so the people that they cast were not just attractive young people that wanted to be on a dating show. They were attractive young people who...
Who fuck a lot.
Who fuck a lot.
They wanted
there's
to
no
be
way, there's no way around that. They fuck a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I think I think that's, like, from the get, the cool thing is that there is, it's pretty egalitarian and balanced and just, like, and it's not judgmental. I like that. Like, there's no point where the show's like, you know, women aren't judged for being sexual while men are not judged.
Right. I like that. I like that a lot.
You get to see everybody do it, and then you get to cringe when things happen that are like, oh, that's a little much.
Harry and Francesca, man, that all went down episode one.
Well, that's
they hit it off right away. Like,
I think maybe the great failing of the situation is, like, Harry was such a shithead in the way he handled the situation and throwing her under the bus and everything. But then she's awful later, yeah. So you don't really feel super bad for her long term.
I mean, she's awful start to finish. But the fact of the matter that he just straight up lied really just made me rage. That was the first instant that I started screaming at the computer.
So the situation is that Francesca and Harry... After the contest, after the timeline of when people could make out or have sexual feelings for each other, well, whatever the rules were, after that, Harry convinced Francesca to kiss him anyway, and they did. And he tried to convince her to go do more, and she didn't. And then when the group got notified that someone had broken the rules, she was the one that was like, we should tell people. And he was even like, tell people what? Like, even at that point, he was ready to lie.
She's like, are you going to say it or am I?
And
like,
then,
she was getting fed up with his nonsense.
And then when she forced him to say what happened, he said that she was the instigator. And everybody believed him. And I did feel bad for that.
That pissed me off. Because I was like, of course you're going to believe the man.
Well, let's see.
Because why wouldn't, like... Ugh,
it speaks to the inherent misogyny that still exists in these sort of situations, right? That you know, these dudes can go sit in a room and they can be like, okay, you gotta tell, because later on when they fuck, it's like, you gotta tell us what happened, and he's just being as like 16 about it as possible. And these people are not 16, they're in their mid-20s. So they should be
one
a little
of
more mature about the way they talk
19.
About these things, I think.
Yeah.
But
I think
one of them was 19.
Oh, is Harry just 19?
Oh, no, wait. I'm looking it up. Madison might have been 19, but she
was one of the girls, the Madison, Irish one. I think.
She was 20.
Yeah, well, Madison was 20, and Haley was 20.
20 was the youngest.
Yeah.
And Haley was 20.
And that's and this is not to Haley say, like, 20. There's not necessarily a right way to talk about it, but there is a sort of sense that, I don't know, if you know you're that you're on camera, like, maybe you'd be like, hey, dudes, you know. I don't know. It some of the stuff felt disrespectful, and this comes from me as you know, I've heard guys talk about things in shitty ways, and it's gross. It's gross every time it happens, and it's gross
that
when
locker
you
room talk.
On a show. Yeah, well, it is. I mean, because you don't have to talk about it that way. It's like, it's not compulsory. Anyway,
I think though, to be fair, a lot of it was misogyny, but a lot of it was also like mean girl syndrome, because Francesca and Haley set themselves up from the beginning as like trying to be the top queen bitches.
Yeah.
And all the rest of the girls were like, we don't really like you that much. And so they kind of like separated themselves from the whole group right off the bat. So when Francesca said something, nobody believed her because she was being such a bitch to everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Cause she went to like the Kim Kardashian school of treating people like they're below you.
Yeah, and Haley went to
the
Kim Kardashian school of find somebody more famous and follow them until you get famous. So
yeah,
all it takes is a night camera and a blowjob.
That's not episode one.
So yeah, so I mean, like, we've got what? So like, the main thing is, so Harry and Francesca make out. He throws her under the bus. They get fined $3,000 off the prize because that's what a kiss costs. And this is their first understanding that that's the situation. And then so Francesca and Haley make out as a quote unquote loophole. They think that that's what they're doing, maybe. But they know
that no, that was a revenge. They straight up were like, let's just do it.
They were like, let's do this. Nobody will know it's us, and it will cause infighting amongst everyone else.
Yeah.
Because they'll be accused, yeah. Every couple, every man and woman that has kind of
paired off, expressed
interest for each other will be accused, and no one will think it's us. And we will like cause all this like trouble is basically what they were trying to do.
And then someone has the wise idea to just ask Lana who made out. And she's like, well, yeah, these people did. And
no, it's like, that was homeboy from Colorado.
It was Matthew. But even before Matthew did that, they were like, we deserve an Oscar for our acting. And they were so bad. They were like,
awful.
Two people made out? That's so weird. I wonder who that could have been. Who do you think that was? Haley? Anyway, let's go away now.
And couldn't possibly be us. We have another engagement on the other side of the resort. Let's walk hand in hand away.
Matthew was like, I think it was them. And that's why he asked Lana, because he figured it out because they were so bad. But in their confessionals, they were like, we were amazing.
Which is one of those moments that sort of pierces the suspension of disbelief veil for me, where I'm like, how many times did they do this? Because it seems so poorly done that it's possible that they did the scene a few times until they got the worst version. I don't know.
Now, remember how they just are so stupid.
I honestly think it was genuine
because
they were acting well.
I mean, that makes it more entertaining for me if they actually thought they were trying. That's great.
I think they were. I really do. Like, TV magic only goes so far, and you cannot fake stupid. You can't. You just truly can't. Like, I have watched enough of all kinds of shit TV, and this takes the cake for genuine stupidity.
Let's also talk about Kells, who was a guy that came on the show that was very sexual, very excited about hooking up with everyone. And as soon as they mention the prize, this guy is like, I'm locking y'all up. Everybody's in a different room. We're not talking to each other the rest of the show.
He turned into David from the Real World New Orleans, where he's just like this big dude that's crazy.
I didn't watch New Orleans.
Yeah, I never watched any of it.
I just feel like he turned into everybody's dad, though. He was always like, are you two going off together alone? What are you going to do? Don't do anything. What are you doing? Come back. Come back and hang out with the rest of us.
Yeah, and he was always mad whenever the deductions of prize money were revealed, too. He would be seething in a way that was like,
oh. I want to know what his real world problems are, because, like, to get that excited over, I mean, maybe 100,000, but maybe, like, 10.
That's the thing. Maybe he thought it was all going to one person, and so he thought he had a chance at $100,000. I can see trying to get people to stop having sex for $100,000.
He was going to be most piously abstinent, and so he would win.
He's like, I can turn off my fuckboy charms for a month to get that money.
He was the only one that was like, a month? Yeah, I can do that.
but he also makes a play on Francesca, right?
For like a day.
Yeah. And she throws herself at him, and he's like, no, I'm good. I'd rather have $100,000.
The show makes it seem like it's a bigger deal than it really is.
Yeah, and she was pissed that he wouldn't take the bait. Like, she couldn't handle rejection so bad that she couldn't, like, leave an option to see him more.
I was like, so if you want to make out with you right away, you break up with him?
People who I do. I mean, people who are like jumping the gun, like trying to eat my face, like, no, 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 that's not, you need to know my name. You need to know, like, that I have a cat and what her name is. and some semblance of information about me before, you know, you can just make out. You gotta at least pretend.
That's from the Kel's point of view, from the Francesca point of view. Like, if I threw myself at a guy and he was like, let's take it slow, I wouldn't be like, fuck you.
Yeah, no, like, but that's exactly where she went. She's like, he doesn't like me, so bye. And I'm like,
yeah, what does that mean about our self-worth that she thinks that just because he won't make out with her that he doesn't like her?
She's an Instagram model. Like, her self-worth is based on people literally liking her. So it makes sense that she would have that kind of visceral reaction to being rejected. But, like, you're an Instagram model. You ain't shit. Like, I've never heard of you, and I'm barely on Instagram. I've heard of all the, like, popular, super cool people on there, and she ain't one of them. She's just some big titty bimbo, you know. It's not bad to be one, but she's just...
I like that with Kelly.
What will you like, her to do? Doing? Like... Let's send this bitch with big titties my t-shirt to wear and get that promotional. And that's it.
Kels is like, what do you do for a living? And she's like, Instagram.
Yeah.
I Instagram for a living.
I'm an Insta bitch.
Does that have a good retirement plan?
It certainly doesn't provide healthcare.
It's shelf life
one. What kind of 401k matching do you get with your Instagram account?
Like, do you call up 20 different dentists and be like, I can promote you if you clean my teeth? Like, how does that work?
And yeah, you do the photo where you've got the lead vest on but no top underneath when they're taking the x-rays. And so
I wore my chainmail to the dentist. They recommended I take it off for the x-rays.
Let's see. Who else should we? Where are we at?
We're on. Can we talk about Chloe for a second?
Yeah, let's talk about Chloe.
Love Chloe.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a ditzy, ditzy, ditz, but she's adorable and cute.
She's the one who straight up says that she's really stupid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did that genuine aspect of her. She's like, don't tell anybody that I'm dumb.
Yeah, but she comes off as a sweet person, and she pretty much, she never does anything venomous on the show. The only thing she ever does that's, like, not perfect, in quotes, is that she kisses weirdo Bryce and then is like, and then has to go talk. But she goes and talks to him and says, like, she owns
she does
up,
the
like,
right an adult. Thing.
So she kisses three guys. She kisses David, Bryce, and Corey.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my thing about Chloe that made me question whether it was generational or not, was that with all three of them, she said that she was confused because these were guys that she would normally sleep with and then get to know. And in this situation, she's getting to know them, but she can't tell if she's attracted to them or not unless she sleeps with them. And then she decides to kiss them, and the kiss is enough for her to figure out, like, oh, no, I don't like these guys that much.
Yeah.
And that's new to her. So, like, the idea of figuring out if you like a guy before you sleep with them or not is not something that's ever occurred to her.
Yeah, I think it's remarkable that
she... made me sad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's remarkable that she hopefully made a genuine self-discovery about, like, hey, you don't have to fuck somebody before you get to know them, because obviously, like, yeah, I mean,
or
I don't
know. Talking doesn't have to be how you decide if you like them or not.
Right, like, am I attracted to this person? Well, let's get naked and find out. That's
I feel like that's kind of how her life probably was before this, which makes me want to cry, but I love her journey, because at the end she's like confronting Corey and like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw it out here that I don't think she's necessarily wrong on the fuck first, get to know later. Because in my hoe phase, the occasional people that I've hooked up with, like, I don't want to end up married to somebody who's got no game and nothing to work with. If I fall in love with somebody with a tiny dick, I'm gonna be depressed the rest of my life. So, you know, it's just kind of like, if you can weed them out quicker.
But don't you think there's a balance there? Like figure out somebody's a total dick so that you don't have to sleep with him.
But there's, okay, so the way around that is that there's, you just got to ask the very simple, basic things to figure out if they are a dick or if they're a good person or not. Number one, who'd you vote for?
Yeah, yeah.
Easiest
now.
Easiest way to weed people out. Be like, all right, peace out. You voted for a monster or whatever. And then another thing is like ask an opinion, a question about your favorite thing. Like I know that most people hate Dancing with the Stars. I know that. And I don't care. I love it. It's the Hunger Games. But I ask people, I'll talk about it. I'll be like, this is my Hunger Games. This is my trash TV that I love to watch. I love to see celebrities fight to be relevant again. And then if they're like, ugh, I'll be like, all right, on to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's definitely the
and they're all so young that they just don't have that experience. They don't know how to like weed people out with a quick question.
Right. And
so they
and
only have the one.
And, you know, it's like, because sexual chemistry is important, I think, in any relationship, for sure. Like, it is key. You don't want to you don't want to not know what kind of person you're with just because that's a long-term compatibility issue and it is a happiness issue.
If they don't satisfy at least 80% of all of your needs, like, it's not... Yeah.
You've got to get to an 80 on the Snickers index, otherwise you're out.
Exactly.
And I agree with that. Like I would never consider myself completely committed to somebody unless I had slept with them and knew how that physical connection was. Yeah. I do think that's really important. But at the same time, I think Chloe was putting herself in situations where she was sleeping with guys without weeding them out and basically like with Corey, she was like, this is a guy that I really like. Normally I would sleep with him, but I'm not going to sleep with him. I'm just going to kiss him. And in the meantime, he's telling me hey, how much he likes me and how much he's going to take me out on a date. And then the next day, when given the opportunity, he chose a different girl besides her, which blew her mind that he had lied to her.
Yeah, but he was a total knob, and it was obvious by his haircut that he was going to be.
Oh,
that blonde. He kind of had that early Justin Timberlake ramen hair.
Yes. He did, but only on the top of his head because he had like a high and tight ramen haircut.
High and tight ramen. So he's like a fascist ramen haired person.
I could tell that he was going to be the worst from the beginning because immediately when he steps off that boat, he's like, fuck these rules. I'm going to get it. And then. Yeah. First person, Harry, biggest idiot ever, is like, you know what? Go do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. And then he's, you know, going around like trying to hunt down. And then Harry's like, oh, wait, he's hunting my woman. Oops.
Yeah. And of course, Corey and Madison, who both arrived at the same time on the refill boat. Are the two people who get eliminated because they're just like, all of this is dumb.
They don't give a shit. Because, did Madison say more than like four words the whole time?
Yeah, no, they were totally worthless to be on the show. Like, to Alyssa's point, if this show would have been 10 or 12 episodes long, we probably would have seen some things from them. But in 8 episodes, they show up on episode 6, they are quickly discarded, and that's kind of it.
The wild thing is that this is over a month. Like, I feel like a month of filming 24/7, night, day, infrared or whatever cameras they're using we should get better material. Like, I was shocked at how lacking in real personality these people had.
Yeah, especially once they got rid of Haley.
Yeah, because if you're supposed to be hot and sexy and fuckable and, like, picking up all this D&V or whatever, you should have a real personality, not
maybe
just
was
a
part
few
of it,
lines.
Though, is that they didn't actually have personalities. They were sleeping with people because they were hot, but they didn't have personalities. And once they weren't sleeping with people, all they could do was just sit there silently.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't know what to do with themselves.
Everybody was stuck wearing a bathing suit going, duh.
Right.
That was it. Yeah, I mean... Because really, like, Matthew sort of has a personality, but he's also up to, I mean, I guess up to like 9 years, 10 years, the senior of the younger people on the show.
He looks like somebody who would go for a super young.
Oh, absolutely.
Super young person.
But yeah, it was weird because they're not interesting people, and they didn't play games or anything. And all of the, you know, they end up doing all these retreat activities, whether it's the guys painting each other with mud and then spear attacking their fears that they wrote on paper, which totally not something that we laughed a lot at. Yes, it was. We laughed constantly at that.
I thought that was.
I want to talk about that though, because that did piss me off that the guys did this like retreat exercise that was about like
building up your confidence and letting go of your bullshit.
Yeah, and confronting your fears. And then the girls' retreat was about
look at what your vagina looks like. Yeah. Look at what
My Rebecca.
The girls' retreat
nice
was basically
you,
like your vagina is special and you shouldn't give it away. Which is what my generation, or at least what I was taught. So
that's what I'm saying. Like there's this very kind of conservative undertone for this show, which so
it did get very misogynistic at the end there with the retreat or whatever.
I it made me reflect on the things that people have told me about my virginity. When I was younger, another girl told me, she's like, well, every time you have, think of your virginity or your sexual body as a chalice filled with water. And every time you have sex with someone, that water gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And I was like, oh no, that's not good. And then, you know, when I actually got like proper sexual education and learned from different people, I was like, oh no, that's a bunch of bullshit. Your vagina is a self-cleaning oven. It's fine.
Yeah, plus the people who tell you that dirty water shit are also people who say that Sharia law is a terrible thing that should never happen to this country, but they employ their own version.
Oh, this girl was from a different country.
Oh, really? Like, yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, hey, there you go.
I have a very international base of terrible advice.
You are a globetrotter.
Yeah, not as frequently as I like, well, but I do talk to a lot of people.
But I think that if the women were going to get a lesson in like respecting themselves to the point that they don't sleep with people that they don't care about, the men should have gotten that lesson also. And if the men were getting a lesson in confronting their fears and letting their walls down, the women should have gotten that lesson also. But the fact that it was like the men got one and the women got the other was pretty shitty.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because the only shared lesson was the weird bondage lesson that was totally like my overall problem with this show is that it's uneven in what it seems to be trying to do.
Right.
Like the bondage lesson seems like it's supposed to be, we're going to tease you to see how far we can go before you break. But then later it's like, we're here to restore you and create a better person. And it's like, no, it's either challenges on willpower or it's a constructive thing, but it shouldn't be both.
So it started as a, let's see how much we can torture these people. And then it turned into, maybe we can fix them. You know what that is? That is a manipulative, dangerous relationship.
Yeah.
You reel them in like, oh, it's going to be so much fun and sexy. And then you're left there thinking, I can change him. I can. No, you can't.
I just wish they had tortured him the whole time. Been like, all right, everybody, now we're going to play strip poker. Remember, you can't touch each other.
No, exactly. That's what I was saying about, like, the show is so tame because it doesn't do those things. Like, if it was going to push it and say, hey, you guys cannot fool around, but we're going to put you in situations where we're actually going to make you be naked in front of each other. And then say, you cannot touch each other. You cannot be, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, and I get that that's extremely exploitative and gross. And I don't think that that's, like, it wouldn't have made this show good with a capital G, but it would have made this show better.
Right.
Because this show sort of hedges itself so much and then it backs away and says, hey, you know what? You're all wonderful, beautiful people who have learned a lot, and so you get paid for being here on a vacation where a couple of you fucked and a few of you kissed, but most of you didn't screw up, so therefore you're better now?
It's like the showrunner, like, had a change in conscience like halfway through.
Yeah, maybe. Oh man,
because they were getting such terrible, terrible footage with their lack of personality that they had to change it. Like they were forced because they're like, "This is all garbage. We can't use it. Let's pivot and then maybe try and make it less shitty and heartwarming at the end."
Yeah,
yeah, I think that is kind of what happened.
Which I'm going to posit is the Netflix reality TV show ethos, right? Because The Circle is about people coming together and being friends. It's a competition, but it's mostly about how these people bonded. And
they encourage you to catfish, though. They're like, be as fake as you want.
Well, they do, but they also don't they didn't emphasize the people who catfished, and they didn't edit the episodes so that the catfishers seemed like they were more devious than they were. Everybody seemed very sterile and safe. Anyway, let's see. Sorry, Shannon, what did you say?
You mentioned Love is Blind earlier. How does that fit into your thesis?
Well, because Love is Blind is all about the premise that there is a version of love that is at first sight and is pure and is based on all these things, right? So that show focuses on that in the ways that it can. And it didn't, like, even when things blew up, they didn't blow up that much. It's not a fully baked theory of mine either.
I like it. I think you're right. Cause I think all of the Netflix homegrown reality shows are kind of, pleasant. They're all pleasant.
I think that's what it is. They're pleasant. Let's talk about.
I'm excited to see the second season of everything. They'll be like, all right, we actually got to give them something.
Well, and the people who are auditioning will know exactly what they're auditioning to be, and then they'll be flipping scripts left and right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Bryce for a minute.
I fucking hate that guy, and I'm just gonna jump right into it. He is peak LA trash. He's too fucking tan. His weird paunchy face, that nasty slicked back used car salesman hair, is awful. Everything about him is awful. He's not a good piano player. They never should have let him put his hands on that poor little keyboard. And he's a horrible singer. Everything about him is disgusting. And I feel bad for Chloe for allowing herself to get drawn into his dusty spider web. And he lives on a boat. You live on a boat? Like, get the fuck out of here, you broke ass motherfucker.
He lives on a boat. Does that mean he's really poor or really rich?
Exactly.
Yeah. Why are you on a boat?
What kind of boat would be my first question. How long is that boat? Is this like a tiny little, 8-foot schooner that you've got space for a pillow in your body? Or is this like a yacht?
Yeah, I think the thing that really got me with Bryce was just there was a scene where he's talking to Chloe and his eyebrow raises are so disgusting and so overdone, which made me wonder, like, are they doing multiple takes of this? Because I can't imagine anybody being, and you guys can't see me, but like doing eyebrow raises and bug eyes when somebody talks. Like, he was so gross. He was disgusting. And I was like,
LA.
So I went to college in California.
Hollywood.
And this guy reminds me of a lot of guys I knew in college that I kind of have a soft spot for. I have to admit, it's the kind of guy that makes you cringe because they think that they're going to play the piano and serenade you and it's going to be the sexiest thing ever and they don't know how creepy they are. That's it. And they think that they're like these like ladies' man, but they don't realize how much they're getting used for whatever they're offering in that scenario. And I did know a lot of guys in college like this that I would sit down, have a study session with, and get to know and find out like how actual like tender-hearted a lot of guys like this are. And it kind of breaks my heart a little bit that this is such a front.
Oh sure, he could be.
And it's so bad, but I do like, and it's never a guy I would date. Like none of the guys I went to college with, I would have ever considered boyfriend material. But they were definitely friend material that I wanted to help get to the point where they could be boyfriend material for somebody else. And some of them like learned to let go of that shtick, and some of them kept it going. And I don't know, but it's so familiar. And so like I want to be Bryce's friend. Like I want to talk to him about his keyboard and how he needs to let that go and see what he does with it.
I think completely opposite. And that man needs to be cast into the fires of hell.
I was going to split the difference and say that I get that, because he seems like the sort of person who was victimized by a pickup artist ethos. Like I think it's guys that were kind of tortured
when they were younger, and like this is like their defense to like, yeah, they got like swept up in that learn to pick up any woman kind of thing.
Yeah, he's the only
they were broken.
He's the only guy at the retreat who's under 6 feet, because he's obviously like five. He's my height. He's like 5'9" maybe.
No, that's not true. Sharon was really short.
Oh, well, still. Yeah,
they talk about that in one of the episodes when he's making his garbage margaritas, Bryce's garbage margarita night. I think it was that night that they were talking about everybody's height. And the dudes were like, you two are really teeny tiny. And then Kells is over there like 6'7". He's a monster. He's giant.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody else is like, oh, you're itty bitty. Even the girls are like, I don't want to fuck with those tiny guys. And
yeah, I did. That's not, I mean, it's not untrue with how it works.
It's not uncommon, but, you know, you set limits. I'm just like, anyone taller than me is like, that's fine.
But yeah, but I mean, I can see how as a person who is shorter and who's trying to somehow figure out how to, like, he said something in the later episodes, it was like, hey, I when they were painting words on each other and he had ugly painted on himself, and he was like, I never felt good about myself. And I think it was good because I developed other sort of aspects of my personality, which included not being able to play piano well, but I'm sure that a lot of that is he was probably nervous to be around all these like insanely tall, hot people, and was like, oh, this is not the concert I was planning on. But
I agreed with ugly when he wrote it on himself, and I was like, what? That's true though. Your face is awful and I hate you. But maybe that's my reaction. Like, he does remind me of people that I hate, and maybe that's where that's coming from. I don't know. I just think he's not attractive. And he didn't belong in that show whatsoever.
Well, and I think, I mean, who knows? Like you said, there's a month worth of filming. He's probably in it for 2.5 weeks. I mean, I'm sure he did things that were redeemable compared to just the eyebrow raises. But the way they present him is he's really gross. He's really
not. I truly believe that he wants to sell me a used boat.
Yeah.
And like
Alyssa, he wants to sell you a used boat and then murder you on the used boat and have sex
after I've
murdered body. Yes.
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
I'm a lot nicer when I'm dead and quiet. So.
Allegedly.
No, he wants to sell you a used boat and then use the proceeds to go take his trip to Japan that he's always wanted to take, where he's gonna come back with some sort of mail order bride.
Yeah.
What are they called? A kabuki bride or something? Or is that like a geisha? I can't remember. the mail order brides are all coming.
That's going to end up with a mail order bride from an Asian country. Let's be honest. But
I would bet he aims for Russia, just because.
But I still feel like my heart goes out to guys like that, because I feel that they were tortured as teenagers. And
be that as it may, when you adopt a really shitty personality and outlook instead of getting therapy, that's partially on you. Like, you gotta handle your business in an appropriate way. And instead of, he's like, I fuck different women every night. And I'm like, do they look like me? Because, like, that's the kind of people I imagine you hooking up with. I don't imagine him hooking up with these svelte, beautiful women. I'm thinking he finds people who look like me, they're pudgy, also has a good personality, but people who are, you know, also broken, because broken people are easy to fuck.
It's that simple. You're like, oh, you have daddy problems too? Check out my boat.
Yeah, I was thinking he probably sleeps with really drunk women that he gets coke for that are probably very tall and skinny and pretty, and they're just using him for that.
That's called rape. And if they're really drunk, that's rape.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think the bottom line is that he seems like a stunt cast where the producers of the show were like, we need to bring somebody in who's completely against what we've established and throw him in because we're going to call.
It shocked me that anybody would call him attractive because as he walked up, like, okay, if you only looked at his face and gave him a haircut, his eyes are gorgeous. They're very striking with his overly disgustingly tanned skin. It works in a very, very specific way. But all of these girls who could literally catch a dick the second they snap their finger, are like, oh, look at this pudgy guy with terrible skills and greasy hair. Like, what are they thinking? Were they already wasted? And he was like, this is my time to shine.
I mean, I think they probably were drinking all the time. I think that's sort of the premise of the show. But he
met them when they were just working out. He came down when they were doing their workouts, and then he met them, and then he's like, you guys have fun. Yeah. I am clearly pudgy and not going to pick up that barbell.
I did not think he was that unattractive. Not my type. I was not attracted to him, but I did not think he was unattractive.
He's just got, like, I don't know. There's something about him. He's got some kind of demon that I can see through the TV that I hate. There's something about him that is awful. And I feel like I'm going to see him on TMZ with a DUI or a drug charge, or he set his boat on fire for insurance money.
So I looked him up on Wikipedia. So he has a Wikipedia page. He is a director and screenwriter, and he is known for the 2017 feature-length film Counterfeiters, which won multiple awards, including Best Feature Narrative at the Wolves Independent International Film Awards in Lithuania. So, just so you know.
That sounds about right. That sounds like, I'm picturing him bringing a lot of women back to his boat that
I know
are too stupid to know that that's not a thing.
This is 2020's Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
I don't think he's Harvey Weinstein. He doesn't have any power.
In 20 years, he will.
I think this is the kind of guy that goes to a Russian bar and finds women that don't speak English that well and tells them that he's a filmmaker, and he gives them coke, and they come back to his boat, and he thinks that he's a big man on campus when really he's fooling himself into thinking that he's got any kind of game.
What celebrity in jail has done that? Like,
allegedly. let's talk about other people on the show. Do you guys remember who Lydia is?
Yeah, she was the ring girl that came in at the end.
Oh, okay.
That was with David.
Oh, yeah, she was there for like a minute, and then
Okay.
David was my favorite. Girl.
All right, yeah.
David was the sweetest.
Thoughts on David? Yeah, because David
is so kind.
David ends up being like a hunky sort of Superman looking British guy.
I would climb that tree all day for eternity. He's a little dumb, but he's so sweet, and that makes up for all of his stupidity.
When they were doing the exercise where they had to try and communicate without talking.
Oh, yeah, and then he just starts crying, and I'm like, oh, baby, let me hug you.
That was adorable.
Yeah, he was great, because he seemed to really get into that moment. Like, he was like, I saw you. And I was, wow, this show's really
good. Have you ever done that?
No.
I had to do that one. I had to do I had to do that once for like a weird interactive performing arts thing I went to, and they paired me up with a stranger, and they were like, you guys just have to look at each other in the eyes for a minute, and I think I started crying too. Like, it's this intense thing.
Yeah. Windows to the soul.
Part of that, I think part of that exercise was from an article I want to say the New York Times maybe put it out, that was all about like how to tell or how to definitely fall in love with somebody. And like, it's going through this list of things and asking very specific questions. But one of them was just staring deeply into each other's eyes for X amount of time. There's some scientific thing that I don't have references to, that when you stare into someone's eyes, it creates the happy hormones or
cotton or something.
Well, like serotonin or norepi, or the flight, fight or flight response. Like, you'll either like them or you'll be like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Let's see. Nicole, the Irish woman.
I loved her accent.
I think she was my favorite person on the show, because she wasn't involved in much of anything, but she was always just there. She was a narrator. She was almost our audience surrogate on this show.
Right. She said party, I was like, yeah, I like it when you talk. She's like, are we ready to party? Like, yes, we are.
And then, yeah, like, Rhonda and Sharon's relationship was interesting, because they came out of the thing kind of in a relationship.
He asked her, like, will you be my girlfriend? And and she was like, I do. I was like, okay. But are they still together? I want the follow-up episode. Ooh, like, I'm ready.
Yeah, no.
It's
as he met her kid?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, he met her, like, FaceTime, but what 2-year-old gives two fucks about some stranger on FaceTime?
No, that's true. It's, yeah, you're just looking at balloons at that point.
Yeah, when my mom dated dudes, like, I would meet them. I didn't care. She's like, oh, we're going to go hang out. I'm like, see ya. I'm going to go watch The Simpsons.
So when my dad was dating my stepmother, so my stepsister was very young, and I was like 14 or something. So I got designated to babysit, kind of. Like, here, hang out, and we'll go do stuff. And so, yeah, and so that was fun. but so yeah, I remember not caring also.
An article in Bustle yesterday that said that their Instagram comments hint that they're still together.
Oh, okay.
That is some investigative journalism.
So that's the definitive report right there.
Their Instagram comments.
Well, I hope they are, because those two.
They were good.
They were the most reasonable couple to come out of the entire thing. Like, I was like, I could see something good coming of that. The other two, Harry and Francesca. I think that's gonna be a dumpster fire, because she was like, you have to move to Canada, and he's like, wait, what?
Yeah, he's like, I live in Australia. And in fairness, like, Sharon and Rhonda's relationship was the most, like, it was almost the spiciest the show got, with his ass grabbing, and also him like having her like sit on his lap, and then them being like, you've got a boner, and hide it with a pillow, which was probably about as sharp as the show got, where it didn't just cut away, right? Like, everything else was alluded to. We didn't get real world era black light camera, like, hey, these people.
I wanted to see the black camera, the night cam of what's her face crawling under the covers, because I was like, this is a speculative blowy, until he's like, oh, somehow my dick ended up in her mouth, whoops. I'm like, what? I want to see, like, evidence of this. Absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
The editing on this show was terrible.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's this, I think a lot of the failing is that it's only the eight episodes long. Like, if we had had,
yeah,
we had 10 or 12 episodes, you'd really be a little more deep in these people. And I don't know, the circle was the same number of episodes, right, Shannon? It was only 8 episodes.
I don't remember.
I feel like it was similar.
It was 9.
Okay.
Like, because they released 3, 3, and 3, and then they did the follow-up. Did they do a follow-up? No. It was the other one. So they did three, three, and three. Yeah, 9 episodes, and then the last episode was the talking stuff.
Yeah,
they were
yeah,
just chit-chatting, and you find out the winner.
But for some reason, over those 8 episodes, I felt like I really kind of liked people because I understood who they were. And on this show, I didn't really understand who most people were, aside from, like, Chloe was spotlit, and Rhonda and Sharon, and then Francesca and Harry. But, like, everybody else, I was like, well, you're fine. You know, it was a lot of you're fine for me.
Yeah. It's like, this is happening.
Yeah.
And it's gross. Yeah. But I'm not going
to look at you guys are being exploited to be having a beach vacation where you can't wear bathing suits that fit you for this period of time. And then you're going to get money. And maybe some of you will come out of this changed with big quotes around it. Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be $7,500 richer, less taxes.
Right. Like,
that's it.
Who doesn't love a 2 to 3 months rent covered? That's great.
I mean, if they came back here.
Yeah. Depends where they're going. I'm sure Bryce's slip fees aren't too expensive.
Ugh, God, I hate him. Every time he comes up, I'm like, ugh, he's the worst. He's trash. I sleep with a new woman every night. Like, really? Really?
Well, that was the thing that really bummed me out is, like, I don't know why you would even say that in the thing unless you're I assume what they told him was, hey, you're going to the Fuck Island reality show. So he's going full bravado? Because if somebody said, like, hey, you're going to go to a retreat where people are trying not to have sex with each other, I hope he wouldn't say that.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. I could never respect him. I suspect that all the women he's taking home are just as broken as he is. And if they're skinny, they're getting drugs. If they're not, he's just, you know, just trying to get it. That's it.
Drugs are forthcoming.
Yeah. Drugs are for the skinny people who he has to convince to sleep with him. And then the rest of them are just as broken as him. I just hate Bryce.
So Alyssa, give us a rating of this show of Too Hot to Handle on a scale of 1 to 10.
I honestly still, even though I hate everyone, in their own particular way, like every single person has a horrible quality about them. I think this is like sirloin of trash TV. This is some grade A garbage. You know, I'd probably give it like a solid 9.
Okay. All right. Wow. Great. Great.
I mean, I just wish it was train wreck here. That's where they lost that one point.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think that's
give me the nastiest possible things. Like that's I want it all. Put this shit on Showtime. So I don't have to watch these ridiculous edits.
Shannon, what do you think? What scale of 1 to 10?
I'm spoiled. I think between Love Island, Are You the One, X on the Beach, there's too many shows like this that have more drama and more craziness. I liked the premise. I liked the first couple episodes. I liked how shocked I was that it was hard for them to do it. But at the end of the day, I got really bored.
Yeah.
Really fast. So I think for me, it's a 5.
Oh, wow. Oh. Ooh, it's like an embarrassing, like, why did you even bother? Because it's not even so bad, it's good.
It's not even so bad, it's good. The first, if we were doing it by episode, I would say, like, the first episode, I was intrigued. I was like, ooh, it's going to happen. But as I had to keep watching, the score kept going down.
It did decline.
Yeah. Which I think is why Matthew left, right? I think that's part of what it is. He's just like, what's the point of being on this anymore? This is terrible.
Yeah, it just got more boring and more boring.
I think he left because nobody wanted to sleep with him.
Maybe that too. I mean, I don't
know. I think not one single person was interested in him, and I swear to God, it was because of his haircut. People with long hair, like, if you are not Fabio, you need to cut that shit off.
I think it's it might be haircut. It might also be that he carried himself like this older person who was sort of like, well, we need to be thoughtful about this. And nobody else there was interested in being thoughtful about anything. And that was sort of the point. And people don't
He was literally the adult in the situation.
Yeah. You know, condescended to by an almost 30-year-old who's like, hey, we've got a great vacation opportunity. Why don't we not fuck and try to make this $100,000? And they're like, no, that's dumb. You're terrible.
Yeah, they could have like 40 days, 40-nighted it. And
What's happened to Josh Hartnett, guys? Where is Josh Hartnett right now?
I think he's been on some TV shows sometime in the last 10 years.
Because, I feel like the last thing I saw him in was in Sin City, where he had, like, a very minor role.
Was he in the sequel?
I don't know. I didn't see the sequel.
I saw it, but I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I saw some of it, I guess.
When you said Sin City, I was thinking of Spin City. I was like, he had a role in that? That's
yeah, awesome. He took over for the guy that, anyway. Didn't one of the guys on Spin City commit suicide? Wasn't that the thing? Like the doofy buddy character.
The blonde guy?
Huh?
The blonde?
No, the guy with the guy that had the kind of the curly hair. He had like the curly bowl cut sort of situation. Wavy bowl.
Yeah, and he had like a kind of nasally voice and had a nasally kind of gay voice.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
I thought he was blonde. That's who I was talking about. So, you know, we're on the same page. Maybe. I don't know if he's dead.
Josh Hartnett is currently on a TV series called Paradise Lost, which is available on Spectrum. But before that, he played a main character on Penny Dreadful.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. I've watched a few episodes of that show.
And he's been on some in some movies you've probably never heard of. And some episodes of Drunk History.
Well, you know, as long as he's working.
Good for him.
That's what matters. Yeah. He's working. Yeah, the guy on Spin City I was thinking of did not commit suicide, so I'm going to go ahead and retract that now because I'm not really interested in going into deep editing with these episodes on Zoom. So I'm just going to say that formally. That person I was thinking of did not do the thing that I said.
Did you know that Too Hot to Handle was all based on the Seinfeld episode where they weren't allowed to masturbate?
Oh yeah, see, that's great. Is that true?
Yeah, a little bit trivia for you there.
The creator
of the show was inspired by that Seinfeld episode and thought it would be funny to make an actual show out of it.
So they were like, 30 years later, I'll come up with a bad idea.
30 years later, I'll actually find people that will come and TV and do this for real.
Come and not come.
I kind of thought of that when I said it.
No, yeah, I think that if I were running this show, I would have been like, no, you guys can work it out. However,
come for the vacation, stay for the sexual tension.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm gonna give this program a 7 because I think that it effectively passes the time, but it's not really that engaging. I mean, it's fine. It's good at moments. But you sort of, like, it asks a lot of the viewer. You got to buy into these people and be like, oh, I really care what Francesca thinks. And it's like, I don't know if I do. I don't know if I actually care what any of these people think.
Oh,
and,
no.
And only the fringe people, you know, the Irish girl whose name I can't remember now.
Ashley.
Nicole.
Oh. Ashley Nicole, you know. but yeah, like, it was fun to watch, but it was sort of, I mean, it was fun especially because of the quarantine circumstance under which it was released. Yeah. So
I think it has potential.
As a show concept, it could be really interesting in the coming years. So sometime in 21 or 22, when we can get people together on an island again, they could film.
Yeah. When the economy has recovered a bit.
Yeah. This could be something. This could be real something.
I'm saying there's a chance.
Alyssa, do you have anything that you'd like to plug this evening for the show, or anything that you want to let people know?
Continue to stay home. That's one.
Yeah.
Don't drink your liver stupid during this quarantine. Mild moderation, because, you know, I completely understand. Sometimes you just gotta drink to forget. But don't drink to forget every day.
Yeah.
And learn a new hobby. I learned how to sew for this nonsense. So
hey, great. What have you sewn?
Masks.
Nice. Okay, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. Just some masks, and I'm finally thinking, like, I maybe will make that Halloween costume that I have been dying to make.
Do you have a sewing machine? I assume you do.
I don't technically own it, but it's in the house.
Okay, yeah.
If it got lost when I move out, like, I don't know.
You have access to a sewing machine. And yeah, I mean, it is great because they are so, so functional. I mean, I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm good with one anymore, but I definitely, like, I knew how to use a sewing machine, and I could pick it back up. And it is. You can do a lot. You can do a lot just with stitches down the sides of things. Like, it's crazy. Oh,
it's wonderful. Amazing. Yeah, there's definitely, like, some hem jobs that I can actually do, and that I'm pretty excited to be able to wear certain pairs of jeans again, because I can fix them.
Yeah.
Finally, all of my unnecessary pants hoarding has come in handy because I can finally wear these clothes again now that I can fix them properly.
Hell yes. Be self-sustaining, people. Shannon, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I've been wearing pants that I haven't fixed, but I'm at home, so nobody cares. So I've got a lot of jeans with holes in inappropriate areas that are getting second life.
You know, Shannon, having holes in your crotch is actually like a fashion thing now.
It is not.
I am not even fucking with you.
I am in fashion then, because all of the jeans that I was about to throw away got a second life.
You got that chub rub going on.
I only have to wear these long enough to walk around the block with my dog. Nobody cares.
No one's gonna see it.
No, my real plug would be, though, to make sure you're being nice to yourself. Anxiety, depression, they're real things, especially in this situation. So be good to yourself as much as you can.
That's perfect. I mean, I think that's the main thing. We all have to be kind of patient with ourselves and understanding that we're going to have good days and bad days. I feel like I'm on a somewhat of an emotional roller coaster, and I'm not a super, like, I'm not very mercurial in the way that I tend to feel, but I've definitely had days where I'm like, oh, I feel great. And days where I'm just like, fuck everything. I don't even know what the point is. And yeah, it's tough. It's a tough time. I will just say, I don't know. Take care of yourselves. Watch some stuff that makes you feel good. Check out content that you like. If you like sci-fi
The Met.
Whatever. Yeah.
Get some culture.
Do whatever.
The Met is streaming operas for free.
Yeah. Do whatever brings you some joy, because it doesn't really matter. Whether it's easy or not, everything's just sort of where it is. And yeah, guys, thank you for being on the show. Alyssa, thank you for being a guest.
Absolutely. Literally anytime right now.
Yeah. Well, we'll bring you back. Don't you worry.
Assign some trash TV for me and I will be ready to go.
We'll have to pick what's for next week, but we will let you know as soon as we decide.
I've probably seen it.
Yeah, there's only so much. Shannon, thank you as always for being part of the podcast. It is nice to have this touch point, touchstone, whatever. I don't even know what to call it. A buoy in a tumultuous sea, I guess.
An anchor.
Yeah. To just have this thing that's somewhat consistent that we're like, hey, we're going to make a thing. And whether people listen or not, it's okay. Alyssa, your cat is adorable.
I got her new collar. It's so blingy. I don't know if you can see it. It's
oh, very nice.
Gold. It's got a chain.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
She's pimping. Yeah. She's mad because I played with her collar.
Yeah. Don't objectify her. We just learned from the show. But yeah, listeners, thank you guys so much for listening to this show. If you like it, rate, review us, subscribe, check out our social media at A Vague Idea Podcast on Instagram, at A Vague Idea Pod on Twitter, the A Vague Idea Podcast online group thing on Facebook, which is less funny to say over and over again. But yeah, otherwise, we're all in this together, and don't let sort of weird forces of money manipulate you into thinking that you need to fight against other people to live, because that's stupid.
And fighting is bad.
Yeah. Let's just make this a situation where hopefully by maybe the fall of this year, we can feel confident about existing in a way that we've remembered. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Don't forget to vote.
Yeah. Also, do not forget to vote. This has been a lot of fun. Talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.